Chapter 15. That's Tom Riley over there. Gregory met the Garda detectives outside the church, where Sergeant Connor Byrne pointed out the headmaster of the local school as he left Sunday Mass with his wife and children. He was a good-looking man who glanced briefly towards them before ushering his family away.
"He's nervous," Niles said,
and began to walk slowly in the other direction towards the Garda station.
"We haven't come across anybody who can corroborate his story about being out jogging on the Saturday Claire died, so maybe he's got something to be nervous about."
But Gregory was more interested in Riley's wife, a petite blonde who seemed not to have noticed the line of Garda men eyeing her husband with such interest. Her physicality put a question mark over her ability to have handled a body, but working at Southmore had taught him that physical appearance alone was not determinative of anything. "We never found any of Riley's DNA at the house," Connor argued. "I don't know why anybody'd wait 2 years."
"We only have his word that the relationship ended 2 years ago," Gregory remarked, "if there was a relationship at all. And if there was, Claire might have ended things more recently, which could have been the reason."
The other men fell silent while they considered his words. Then Niles spoke again.
"I've ordered a second tranche of lab testing," he said. "It'll cost us a heck of a lot, but this can't go on. I want all the old samples retested and some we disregarded the first time."
"Disregarded?"
"It's the way of it," Niall explained. "We don't have endless resources, so we need to prioritize samples that look the most promising. We sent through what was found in the doorway, the hallway, the bathroom, and the child's bedroom. We held off sending through what we took from the other communal areas."
"What about the back fence, where there's a gap?"
"Oh, we didn't find anything there,"
Niall replied, and then caught Gregory's expression and sighed.
"I'll ask them to check again."
"How long will it take for them to come back?"
"Usually it takes weeks," Connor said, "but the mayor's approved some financing from the town's emergency fund. We'll order the express service, which can come back in anywhere from 48 hours to a week."
As they entered the Garda station office, they found a visitor waiting for them.
"Inspector, Niall."
Liam Kelly stood up from one of the low-backed folding chairs arranged in the tiny entrance foyer. He was a man of 38, but appeared to have aged at least 10 years over the past month. His skin was pallid and unshaven, his eyes bloodshot, and he was dressed down in jeans and a woolen jumper, which told them he hadn't attended church that day. They could hardly blame him.
"Liam."
Niall stepped forward to take the man's hands in both of his own, while Gregory watched with interest.
"How are you holding up?"
The man's eyes immediately began to water.
"Just the same,"
he managed, and looked across at Gregory.
"I wondered if there'd been any developments."
"Why don't we have a seat?" Niall said. He curved an arm around the man's shoulder and led him through to a side room set up as a family and friends area, presumably for the conveyance of bad news, judged by the pamphlets on bereavement and counselling strewn across the coffee table beside a jumbo-sized box of Kleenex. Gregory followed them inside and shut the door behind him, then turned to face the blunt edge of grief.
"I thought you'd be able to tell us who did it."
Liam Kelly looked Gregory in the eye and dared him to respond.
"It doesn't work that way," Alex said gently. "I look at the facts and the evidence, the geography of the town and its residents. Most of all, I look at Claire to see why anybody would want to hurt her. I compare her murders with others I've seen before to see if there are any patterns of behavior that might help us to understand the nature of her killer so the Garda can focus their attention on the sort of person most likely to fit the bill.
Alex is here to give us the benefit of his experience," Connor added. "We've never had to deal with anything like this before. We needed a specialist." Liam nodded miserably and sank into an overstuffed chair.
"Claire's still gone," he whispered. "Even if you catch him, she'll still be gone. We're doing all we can, Niall said. Believe me, I know you are. Liam mumbled and ran his hands through his hair to keep them occupied. Some of the family are getting angry and impatient, and sometimes I feel it too. But I know you're doing your best. In my heart, I know you wouldn't let me down. Niall stood up and paced to the wall, where there was a large notice board filled with outdated posters advertising karaoke nights at O'Feeney's and sunshine yoga classes down by the loch. Place was turning into a bloody tourist trap, he thought, and felt a powerful urge for a drink. Just a quick slug to take the edge off. We think it's somebody in Balfinny, he said, and swallowed to ease the dryness in his throat. We wanted to believe it was an outsider, but now we're not so sure. Liam's eyes burned with anger and disbelief.
Somebody she knew? No, no, I can't believe. Who?
He shook his head, answering his own question. Nobody we know could have done that to Claire. It was the same instinctive reaction the Garda men had felt, but they had to face the facts, and so did he.
I'm sorry, Liam. We were blinded to the possibility because we didn't even want to think it, Niall said. But we have to think it.
Did Claire change her routine at all in the weeks leading up to her death? Gregory's question came out of the blue and served to distract Liam from his devastation, if only for a moment.
No. Not as far as I can remember. She tended to stay in the house on Saturday mornings while I took Emily to her swimming lessons. She did most of the nursery pickups and whatnots during the week, so I like to do my bit at the weekend and give Claire some time to herself. She usually had a bath and read a book or pottered around the house or in the garden. She was always there when we came back.
His voice broke on the last word, and Gregory could feel Niall's warning look boring into the side of his face. They had not discussed the matter of Claire's alleged affair yet, but they must, and soon. How were things between you? Did Claire seem happy, or was anything bothering her? Liam clasped his hands between his knees.
She was happy, or seemed that way, he said. We had a baby on the way, and she was nesting. Started on at me to clear out the spare room and paint it.
The only thing she seemed bothered about was getting everything ready for the little one. He smiled at the memory.
I was a bit worried about money, he confessed, but not enough to speak to her about it. We would have been fine.
He fell silent, retreating into himself as he replayed the final days of their lives together. How's your daughter coping? Gregory asked him, once again diverting the man's thoughts towards something tangible, real, and most importantly, very much alive.
She keeps asking when Mammy's coming back, Liam said, and covered his eyes. I don't know what to tell her. I want to say she's gone to heaven with all the angels, but I can't see past the last image of her lying there on the bed. I can't see her anywhere else.
We need to help you to replace that image with a better one, Gregory said, a happier one that you can associate with Claire whenever you think of her.
I don't know if I can.
You must, Gregory told him, if not for yourself, for your daughter. She needs your strength, and she needs to be able to talk openly about losing Claire. If she can't, if she's too afraid of hurting you, it'll be harder on both of you in the years to come. We need to help you to replace the final image of Claire in your mind so that whenever she's spoken of, you can visualize her in happier times. Liam brushed a thumb beneath his eyes, hardly aware that tears had leaked from the corners.
I want to, he admitted. I want to be able to think about her without my stomach churning. I see Emily watching me, asking questions. Where did you ask Claire to marry you?
Gregory asked. Liam was surprised.
Ah, it was down at the Cliffs of Moher, south of Galway. I took her there to see the ocean. It was a perfect day, he said wistfully. You should think about taking Emily there. Take the family, too. Celebrate Claire's life. Relive a special moment and remember her as she was then. Share it with your daughter. Don't squirrel it away in the recesses of your mind. Liam looked over at the quiet Englishman and wondered what it must be like to step inside the shoes of another person and know precisely what to say and how to say it. He stood up to shake Gregory's hand. I appreciate the time, he said. I'll speak to Emily today and start planning a trip. Gregory returned the handshake. It's a good, positive step. Liam nodded, then turned to the Garda. While we're gone, we'll still be here, Niall promised him. We won't forget, Liam. Once he'd left the station to make his way home to his daughter, Connor turned to Gregory and put a hand on his shoulder. I know you said you couldn't work magic, but that was a good imitation,